Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians. We read in chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. This is God's word. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, there is a vast chasm between happiness and rejoicing. Happiness is a feeling that comes about by the actions or non-actions of someone else. For example, we might say, he makes me feel happy, or she makes me feel sad. Rejoicing, however, is an active verb. It's an act of the will. It's choosing to be a certain way, no matter what the surrounding circumstances. In order for us to follow the example of the Apostle Paul in his ability to rejoice in the Lord always, then we too need to find the context, the reason that he was able to do that. And that is that he learned to be content in all circumstances. There are noble reasons for rejoicing and for contentment. And these reasons are much greater than the superficialities of life that either make us happy or make us sad. Look with me this morning then at the noble reasons to rejoice in the Lord always. And we'll look really as Paul outlines them as three. The Lord is near. The peace of God will guard our hearts. And we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. The Holy Spirit apparently thought that his words to Paul were so important that they bore repeating. And so through Paul's pen, the Holy Spirit encourages us, exhorts us, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. And then the Spirit gives the first reason, the Lord is near. Our Lord God is near as he, in one of his attributes, fills all things. So our Lord Jesus, our Savior, as true God and true man, fills all things, even in his human nature, and in his human body. The Lord is near in answer to Jesus' promise, I will be with you always until the end of the earth. And finally, the Lord is near in the sense that Jesus' return to translate our part of the church into heaven to join the part of the church that is already there is imminent. The Lord is near in his coming. In this context, Paul says, there is absolutely no reason for us to be anxious. In fact, he says, let your gentleness, we could translate that word reasonableness, be known. Because the Lord is near, there is no reason for us to be unreasonable with one another. There's no reason for us to be short, impatient, hurtful, uncertain, any of those things with each other. Because the Lord is near, we can let our gentleness, our reasonableness be made known to one another. There's no need to be anxious, to be fearful, to fill our minds with worry and doubt and uncertainty. But rather, instead, Paul says, don't do that, but think about these things. These noble reasons to rejoice always in the Lord. Think about what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is praiseworthy, what is admirable. Have your minds on those things, because those are the things of God. Unreasonableness and fear are the things of men. But reasonableness, confidence, those are the things of God that come to us in the context of the nearness of our Lord. That he is never far away from us. And notice Paul doesn't say, stay near to the Lord. He promises us that the Lord is near, objectively, in his presence and in his word. And so we spend our time waiting for the Lord to return in prayer with petitions to the Lord for our needs. With thanksgiving, we make our requests to God, knowing that he is near, listening to us, ready to come to our aid, ready to be our blessed caretaker. We go to God with our present needs on the basis of the way he has taken care of our past needs. We look forward to have God take care of our future needs because of the way he is taking care of our present needs. The Lord is near. This is one of the noble reasons for us to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Then Paul gives us another reason to rejoice in the Lord always, and that is the peace of God guards our hearts. The words that are this part of the text should sound very familiar to you. I and most Wisconsin Synod pastors use these words in some form or another in what we call the votum after every sermon. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Or, as we have them here, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why do we do that? Because it's our promise to you that the good news that we share with you, that Jesus is your Savior from sin, that God has accepted his sacrifice on the cross as full payment for your guilt, and there Jesus endured your eternal damnation to assure you that that peace that we have with God now in Christ, that forgiveness of sins, that new life, that eternal salvation in heaven is standing guard over our hearts so that no one can steal it away from us. So that no one may rob us of that peace that we have with God in Christ. That gospel will guard our hearts against the temptations to sin. That peace of God will guard us against the sins that we commit, as God forgives us those sins and does not hold them against us. The peace of God that we have in Christ is our reconciliation to God. It is our right relationship with God. It is the power of God for salvation for all who believe, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. Paul promises us, in connection with the first reason to rejoice always, and the God of peace will be with you. So the God who is near to us always is the God of peace, whose love, whose forgiveness guards our hearts, protects our hearts, which is why it's so important to hear the gospel regularly, take Lord's Supper regularly, to daily think about our holy baptisms. The Philippians had heard and seen Paul live his life in this peace of God, a peace of God that transcends all human understanding about how God could do that and why God would accept that. So that even now, in prison in Rome, Paul would be content. He would be satisfied knowing that it'll turn out the way ever God wants it to turn out for his good. Peace with God in Christ is not a feeling that I have to somehow try to work up in my life, or have other people, even God, work up in my life. Peace with God in Christ is the cause for our constant rejoicing as Christians, that we are right with God, that we are God's children. The reality of the birth, life, death, resurrection, and rule of Jesus Christ is a noble reason for us to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Because that peace of God is our guardian. It is our protector. It is the thing that keeps us in God's family. The apostle exhorted the Philippians and us to put that into practice. How? By remembering that the constant source of rejoicing is that objective peace we have with God in Christ. It is that subjective knowledge that we have that is the object of our faith. It transcends, it surpasses our human understanding and assures us of peace because of its heavenly birthplace. And then finally, Paul mentions the third noble reason to rejoice in the Lord always, and that is, I can do all things through him, that is, through Christ, who gives me strength. Contentment based on happiness is a house of cards ready to blow over with the first puff of wind that comes along. But contentment on the strength of Christ in our hearts is that rock-solid foundation that enables us to rejoice no matter what the circumstance. Maybe many or most of you can, with Paul, say, I know what it's like to be in want. I know what it's like, he says, to have plenty. I know what it is to be in need. But I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. Maybe you've been well fed or hungry. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Pardon me. The secret to contentment, the secret to rejoicing in the Lord, is not myself. It is not the circumstances that surround me in life. What gives me contentment is the strength of the rule of Christ in my heart. The weaker I become, the stronger I am in Christ. The more I turn away from myself, the stronger I am in Christ. The more I turn away from looking at the attendant circumstances of my life and look at that cross on the hill of Calvary and to that empty tomb outside the city, the more the Holy Spirit works joy and contentment in my heart as a child of God. Contentment does not come if somebody makes me happy or not. The secret to contentment is satisfaction that through trust in the power of Christ who gives me strength, I can overcome anything. That I have that power to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, to overcome want, in some circumstance, even to overcome plenty when it tries to turn me away from God. But I have that strength in my heart. You and I have every noble reason to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice, because the Lord is near. We are at peace with God, and we have the power of Christ to be content, whatever the circumstance. Amen.